Good morning, and thank you for joining us on another episode of the Roundtable Talk Show. I am your host, Sharifa Hardy, and as always, I have an amazing show for you today. I have a few guests for you today, and we may have a few more that pop in throughout the show. But let's get started. Let's find out who we have today. Our first guest is Bridget Lawler, and she is all the way in Geneva, Switzerland. I told you, I bring them from all around the world. We have guests from the UK, from Ghana, from everywhere. And today, Switzerland. And Bridget is the CEO of Legend SA. She's a consultant and a best-selling author. Good morning, Bridget. How are you?
Good morning, Sharifa. I'm fantastic. Thank you. And you?
I am wonderful. I am blessed. I'm just happy to be here to be able to speak with you today. So we're going to talk to you in a little bit, but we're going to move on to our next guest who I met. I don't even remember when I met this gentleman, but we'll discuss it and we'll figure it out between us. His name is Darren Paltrowitz, and he is a writer, editor, researcher, and consultant. Good morning, Darren. How are you?
Great. Thank you for having me. Always a pleasure to connect with you.
I know. When did we meet, Darren? I don't remember.
About a year ago, you had me on the show for the first time. And then I interviewed you a couple months after that about your beautiful city of Long Beach, California.
Yes, yes. I didn't remember the time frame, but I definitely remember the interview. And do you know when I ran for Long Beach City Council that your interview kept coming up? Everybody kept seeing it. I was like, oh, my God. Sometimes the things that you do years ago just all of a sudden people catch on to and they find out about now. That was a great interview, and I still appreciate it.
Hey, my pleasure. Thanks for doing it again.
You are welcome. And our next guest is Alexandra Fasulo. She is a New York-based digital nomad, and she's a pro service provider on Fiverr. Good morning, Alex. How are you?
Good morning, Sharifa. Thank you for having me on.
I love it when I have guests and they give me these titles and these names. And I'm like, I have never heard of that. What is a digital nomad?
It's someone who works off of their laptop and essentially travels the world while they do it. I'm not a full digital nomad because I still am based out of New York State most of the time, but it's someone who runs all of their businesses through the internet, which means they can take it anywhere with them they go. So they're a freelancer, an entrepreneur, that type of thing.
Wow, that's cool. So basically just about everyone right now in the world, all over the globe.
Right. No, it's no longer original, but.
Are you a digital nomad, Darren?
At the moment, I am. I mean, I was traveling a lot before this, but it's always great to be doing a lot of things at once.
Mm-hmm. How about you, Bridget?
Yep, absolutely. Absolutely. I'm living through my PC at the moment. PC, phone, laptop, any kind of gadget, as long as I can be online. You know, that's how life is unfolding.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Now, Alex, one of the other things that intrigued me about your profile is the whole Fiverr aspect. And I was like, oh, I have to talk to this young lady because I've known and I've been on Fiverr, I would say at least probably 10 years. Okay. But I have found, and correct me if I'm wrong, and I'm sure Darren's a Fiverr person as well. I'm going to assume they're a little bit. But Fiverr is the best kept, well-known secret. Have you found that to be true?
I mean, it's definitely a best kept secret for me as a seller because I make a lot of money on there. But I do feel that way because I think people associate it with being like a bargain platform. Mm-hmm. And I know if they at this point were to find me, they would definitely get some, you know, great quality product for not too much money. And I'm sure that's the case with every industry on there, not just writing. So I would have to agree with that one.
Mm-hmm. And I say that because whenever I tell someone about Fiverr, it's almost like, oh yeah, I heard about that, but nobody talks about it. I'm like, Okay, how is it this area where it helped? I believe that fiber has changed the world. I really honestly believe that. I don't know how it has affected Sweden or anywhere else, but I know in America, like for myself as a business owner, I'm the kind of person who dreams up new businesses every night. And I've been with GoDaddy since about 96. So whenever I want to do a new website, a new WordPress, I'm like, oh, okay, I can create that idea. I go to Fiverr, get a logo for $5, and then I have a whole new business. And so I don't have to spend $800 for a logo or $1,500 for a flyer that I may have paid in the US when I can go to Fiverr and get it done for a couple of dollars. How is it in, are you familiar with Fiverr, Bridget?
Oh, absolutely. Fiverr and also freelance.com. I use both of them quite a bit. So I'm on the buying end of that. Mm-hmm. And yeah, whether it's logo design, I've used it for like copywriting, and I found quite a few tasks. I mean, having people, the growth of this gig economy is just amazing. I think on both sides of the equation, you know, of the ones of like myself who are buying services, because everything is literally at your fingertips. You can put in your request, put in your spec, and you have like hundreds of people potentially who are able to, you know, to deliver what you need. And then you can just pick, you know, who seems to have the right credentials, experience, when the price is right, and off you go.
Yes, and don't forget the stars. If they're not 4.9 or above, I won't deal with them. How about you, Darren?
Yeah, I've more so been on the buying end for Fiverr. The main thing I've used it for is transcribing interviews, hiring transcribers, because I'm not the world's fastest typer. So if I spoke to somebody on the phone for 45 minutes, I don't want to spend 4 hours listening to my voice and transcribing it. So it's easier to do that. You hire somebody, and then you use that time that you would have spent transcribing it, you know, making money on other stuff.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. What's wrong with your voice, Darren? You don't want to hear your voice?
Hey, isn't everyone their own harsh critic with that?
I just wanted to pick on you because I'm the same way. I started my first Blog Talk Radio show in 2009. And I always tell people I never listen to my interviews. I never listen to video casts because it's listening to the sound of my voice. I'm like, ah, or I pick it apart. I'm like, you shouldn't have said that. You shouldn't have said that that way. You should have done this. So I'm like, I thought it was just me.
No, about a year and a half ago, I started editing my own audio for the interviews, not just transcribing, but doing that. And so I've gotten better at it. I don't hate it as much, but there's still a little bit of hatred.
Yeah. Not as much, though. Not as much. So you are a seller, Alex. You're a pro seller. What made you decide to join Fiverr? And then how did you become a pro seller?
Okay, yeah, it's like a dramatic story, kind of. Basically, I quit my job when I was 21. I quit my job. That was not my plan to do that. And I kind of had nothing left to lose. I had just moved to New York City, so I had to make rent. And if any of you guys have ever lived in New York City, you know that rent is literally impossible there. So I was kind of panicked. And I had actually been on Fiverr for a year, not taking it seriously, like doing little editing jobs here and there. And I started to take it seriously back in 2015. And you know, everything changed from there. I worked really hard at it for 2 years. Then they made me part of Fiverr Pro, which is then when my prices like, you know, quadrupled. Mm-hmm. And ever since Fiverr Pro, I've been in like the six-figure realm with it for 2 years now, which has been amazing. So it was a story of a lot of hard work. Accidentally became an entrepreneur, but I'm very happy that I did.
Okay, so Alex, I was listening, but I'm not sure I heard you correctly because I heard six figures. I don't know if I was the only one who heard that.
Yeah, you got that, yeah.
Had to check something. So you make six figures selling on Fiverr? Like Fiverr.com, Fiverr? Yeah. You make six figures?
Yeah, no, I do because Fiverr Pro is the top 1% of the platform. So they want you at minimum to charge $100 or more for what you're offering. So it's very far removed from the $5 thing. I don't know if they sometimes regret their branding on the word five or not, but at being part of Fiverr Pro, they want me to charge a lot of money because it kind of gives off that quality, you know, boutique, whatever product. So I went from charging $15 to $100, which is I got to learn the word for like a 6-7 time markup. Do you guys know what it is? I don't know what the word is. It's not quadruple, one of them, but
it's a boom.
What is it?
It's boom. That's what it is.
Yeah, I know. I got to look that word up.
Yeah. Oh, wow. You know, because that's one of the things that I notice is that when I start working with someone on Fiverr and their price may be $5, maybe it was $20, and then we work and I can come back and now they're $50, and then I come back and I work and time and now they're $100, and I come back and it's the same service and now it's $400. I'm like, okay, why am I paying $400 for what I once paid $10 for? But the beauty of Fiverr is that I just find somebody else. Exactly. But the cool thing is, my graphic designer, if you like the Roundtable Talk Show flyer that I passed out on social media or any of the flyers, my graphic designer, I don't know how long I've known him, but I know that he's done 63 flyers for me.
Wow.
And the reason he's done so much work for me and he's been around so long is I just love him to death. But especially in the beginning, I began to notice he would come every morning and send me an inbox message and say, good morning, ma'am. Do you have any work for me? And I was like, I don't know. But over time, he was there every day. It's 63 flyers, 63 designs. He's done brochures, everything. When I ran for city council, he did all of the flyers. He did my banner, my large banner that was outside. But every morning he showed up and he's like, good morning, ma'am. Do you have any work for me? I was like, I just thought that was the cutest thing.
So cute. That's adorable.
Yes. I just found all of this interesting. We're not going to spend a whole hour, of course, talking about Fiverr, but I just thought I've never actually met anyone who is a pro seller. I've never met anyone really US based because it's a different energy to me. You know, the people in the United States can tend to me, and I don't want to assume and I don't want to offend anybody, but they don't necessarily want to work with you the same way, you know. But I found a lot of people in other countries, they're more like, whatever you want me to do, whatever you need. People in America, they're like, okay, that's $800, and if you don't have all your information, I don't want to deal with it. So I just find it to be different.
Yeah.
I have a question for Alex, if that's all right.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah, I was just wondering, you know, it's amazing. I'm like super impressed that you've made it to the pinnacle of success at Fiverr. So like, kudos to you on that. But there's what, hundreds of thousands, if not millions of freelancers on Fiverr. And if somebody had to sign up and join as a new freelancer today, like, what are the prospects of them being able to make that progress? Because, you know, as we were saying, if you don't have like the, you know, the high rating in stars, and what I look for is the stars and also for the number of reviews, because I'd rather take someone who's got, you know, more than 4 stars on 200 reviews than someone who's got 5 stars on 2 reviews. So how feasible is it for someone to, you know, to join like now and follow a similar projection?
Yeah, it's funny. I go on TikTok actually every day and I help people with that exact question, because they're like, should I even bother, you know? And I tell people there's a bunch of ways you can get around that if you're starting out. First thing being, you know, making sure your profile and everything looks like as perfect as possible. Then I always tell people, if it's hard to get your first order on there, there's no harm in marketing yourself off of Fiverr on your social media to your friends and family and saying, hey guys, did you know I offer logos now? I'd appreciate if you book me through my Fiverr profile and I can show you what I can do. And I think that's definitely the best way to like get that first, because you need like one review to get the momentum going. And then one other thing I tell people is, like, I don't know if you guys are paying attention on Fiverr right now or not, but they are moving out of just doing digital marketing and they're being sneaky. Like they have local photography now, craft lessons, English lessons. They're starting to like really take advantage of everyone being online. And I always say to people, try and get yourself on one of these markets that hasn't been saturated yet. It's like, there's a ton of logo artists on there, but how about be the first person offering craft lessons or that type of thing? Then it will kind of like raise you up with it, because you'll be I could like talk forever on this topic, but I do know that it works because I have people on TikTok every day write to me and say, they like, thank you so much. I got my first order yesterday. It's people are like, I left my job, all this stuff. So I do know you can move upward on it. I'm sure it's not as easy as it was for me in 2015, but it is still alive, the fiber dream.
Yeah. You said you could talk forever on it. So we're not going to talk forever on it, but if you had any other points that you wanted to share, feel free, because we're not cutting you off.
I didn't know if it's like sometimes boring to people or whatever, but
no, I was taking notes. Like if you can see my notepad, it says right here, I can show you what I can do. Like I am taking notes. I want to be a six-figure earner I want to be a nomad, a digital nomad. That's what I want to be when I grow up. So I'm taking notes from Allie.
You have to get a t-shirt that says nomad instead of hustle.
Yes, digital nomad. It's going to be right here. And then I'll send you the video in your honor.
Yeah, it's a lot of little things. And I make a ton of videos on this because it's like these tiny details, but I always tell people, first thing is on all your gig images, if you're selling on your profile, you have to have a picture of your face, because I'll see all these people that will have this like very anonymous gig photo that says, you know, like I will edit a paper for you. And at the end of the day, because people are afraid of being scammed, they're afraid of whatever, you need to be honest about your appearance. It doesn't matter what you look like. People aren't buying you for your looks. They're buying you for your brain, essentially. So I make sure like I have my face on everything. I'm not even like, oh, I'm trying to look all pretty or whatever. It's like me at my laptop, but it shows like I'm a real person with a naturally dyed hair and I exist and I'm not lying about it. Like I'm a real person. So I always say like, that's a huge start. I've had so many people write to me and say, just putting their picture on their profile, like changed everything. Having typos all over your profile looks terrible. So if you're not great at writing, hire someone on Fiverr for $10 to edit your profile for you. Cause like typos just, you know, if I see a typo in a gig, I'm like, did this person even care? Like, did they even care to make sure that this looked nice? Fiverr also used to have this thing called buyer requests. And I've had people tell me that they take it down and put it up and take it down. And I have to like look into this, but it's a little forum on Fiverr where people can post jobs that they need done. And that's a really easy way to not have to wait for your first orders. You can go like straight to the buyers that way. I use that when I was starting out, but again, I've had people tell me they take it up and down. Like they do so much on that site every day. Like all the time I'll get notices like, we'll be right back. Or I'm like, okay, trying to run my business over here. But they're very busy on there right now. So I tell people right now is a really good time to get on there because they're like launching tons of new stuff every day.
Fitness on there today. I'll be on there today. I'm not going to do the fitness lessons, but I'll be on there today. I'll figure out some category where it only has two other people and I'm going to jump in there. I did notice what you said about the profile pictures. I don't notice if someone doesn't have their picture. So sometimes if there's a logo or different things like that, I don't mind. But I do notice when on their gig, the top picture is someone who looks like you. And then I look at their name and their name is Habib. And I'm like, that's not Habib, you know what I mean? So it's like, I agree with you on the whole, be honest, because anything that I'm like, oh, they're not being honest is like run for me. So yes, this is so interesting. I think we're going to come back, Alex. I'm going to pick your brain because I'm like, okay, this is how I'm going to make my six figures here. This is how I'm going to make my six figures here. Because I got to talk to Bridget about being a best-selling author because I need another six figures from there. Bridget, how do you become a top best-selling author?
Well, that's, on Amazon's top best-selling author list. So that's not as difficult as you would think, actually. Mm-hmm. It's not as difficult as you would think. So I have to confess, though, I did not make six figures from my book.
yet.
And writing a book, and the purpose of me writing this book was more for, you know, just getting my thoughts out there and more of like a brand credibility kind of thing, mm-hmm. rather than something that was going to be a revenue stream. So it wasn't, and I think, I don't even remember what the price of it is, but I think you'll find it on Amazon probably for something like $1 for an ebook version, or maybe like $3 or something for a paper version of that. So, that's the book. So the book is up there. It's really cool. I've always wanted to be an author. I think since I was a kid, I wanted to write and publish something. So it was a major accomplishment for me when I did that. And going through self-publishing on the KDP site is super easy to do. So I have to say that the whole process, you know, going from like start to finish, from the initial idea to writing, I did most of my own proofreading, which probably wasn't necessarily the smartest idea, although my mom did take a look at it.
Moms count. They definitely count.
Counts, yeah. And my mom was an English teacher. So, okay. You know, she's definitely super qualified to do that. And yeah, she actually sent it back to me with like red ink, you know, in the margin. So, so that was okay. Cool. Yeah.
Tell us about your book. What is your book about? What's the name of your book? We got to get you to those six figures on your book. So
I'm going to have to raise the price tag as well then if I want to get to six figures on the book. Yeah. The book is called Humanity Through Technology.
Oh, okay.
Give me just one second.
No, you'll grab a copy of the book during while we're grabbing a copy of the
grab a copy of the book and share that with you. There you go.
Humanity Through
Technology. That's a cool cover, yeah.
Thanks I like much. It. Thanks so it's the human meeting AI.
Basically. Yeah, exactly. And it's not a very long book, as you can see. It's, you know, so you don't need to have a super long attention span for that. It's a pretty easy read. And basically, you know, a couple of years ago, this thought was in my mind that, you know, there was all this talk, and there has been for years, and there will be for, you know, for years to come, about, you know, technology and how it's going to, you know, create more distancing in the world, and how, you know, it's just like so bad for us. And there's always like this fear and this sort of, you know, resistance on the one hand, obviously, and obviously there's, you know, some enthusiasm on the other hand. But I really believe that they're not two opposing forces, that, you know, because of what technology brings and the solutions that technology offers us, we can do so much more as human beings in society, and, you know, in the economy and for the environment and all these things. And I think if we look at what's happening in current times, like, thank mm-hmm. God for things like Zoom, right?
Yeah.
And not only Zoom, of course, there are many other ways, but, you know, how many of us are now still feeling quite interconnected with other human beings, thanks to the fact that we can connect like this, mm-hmm. that we can have conversations. I mean, look at this, there's five of us sitting together and having a wonderful conversation, and we're all in completely different, you know, places on the planet. And I mean, if I look at the concept of at least this aspect of humanity, I mean, my parents, I'm in Switzerland, my parents are in Australia. Mm-hmm. There's an 8-hour time difference. If I had to fly to them, it would take me about 23 hours to get to them, you know, from start to finish. I don't see them all that often, but I speak to them almost every single day, you know, like this. I probably speak to them more than I did when I was living in the same house as them when I was a teenager. So
a lot of people have said that, though, with the pandemic going on, and I'm exactly the same as you. It's not my parents, but my brother lives in Australia. Yep. And we used to talk maybe every now and then, maybe four times a year. You know, now we are on the phone every day, all day. I talk to him now more during a global pandemic than I ever did. And it's like, okay, well, it's bringing the world together, you know, so that's the blessing and this curse.
But the purpose of my book is, what I wanted to do is, because I have a very curious brain, so I'm always asking questions, and, you know, if something is there, I want to find out more about it. And I was spending quite a bit of time with a lot of techie people, understanding a lot of the big trends that were happening in the world, you know, artificial intelligence, the deep machine learning, virtual reality, augmented reality, blockchain, et cetera, et cetera. And these are all like these, you know, sort of big concepts. And a lot of people don't really, it's like big scary terms, right? And you kind of feel like it's over there and it's either going to freak me out or it's just not my reality, or, you know, whatever it was. And especially if I took something like blockchain, when I was trying to understand what it was all about, most of the explanations I got were from really techie people, and they gave me a really techie explanation. Mm-hmm. And it took me, you know, I sort of like took everything on board and thought about it and sort of chewed it over. And then I went, okay, well, this is what it means to the everyday person in the street. Mm-hmm. You know, if we had to sit down just over a cup of coffee, if I didn't know you for more than, you know, 5 minutes, and you said to me, okay, So blockchain, so what? Artificial intelligence, so what? Augmented reality, so what? Like, what is this going to do? How can this make a difference in the world? What do I need to know about it? This is without me giving you a technical explanation, but more of a, okay, here's what you need to know, and here's where it fits into the world, and there's no need to panic. And yes, there are some things we need to figure out. We need to figure out some rules of the game. We need to figure out some, you know, there's a lot of risks that can be there. We've got to figure out some governance. We've got to figure out a whole bunch of stuff. But here's what it can do. Here's what it means in a practical, real life way that I could have this conversation. So the book is written as almost as if I was having a conversation like with my grandmother, mm-hmm. you know, and saying, aww. Well, you know, what's happening in the world?
Mm, I love it though. But it's so much to what you had to say. I could probably talk for hours on that topic because it is one of my favorite topics. So it brings up a lot of points. Mm-hmm. Number one, I built my first website in 1994.
Okay.
And back in 1994, I just wanted to be a stay-at-home mom. That was my only vision. That was my only goal. But I knew then that the benefits of working from home, not that many people did. Back in 1994, people said I was lazy because in that time frame, if you didn't leave the house, if you didn't work from home, if you didn't go to work, then you were lazy. Mm-hmm. Now, even before the global pandemic, more people were working from home than ever. Mm-hmm. Now, everyone, to a certain extent, if they're working, are pretty much working from home, unless you are somebody who is on the front line and you're going out to save the rest of us. Most other people are working from home. But I felt like this is, you know, without the whole death and dying, the global pandemic, that this is where we need to be because more and more people are focusing on their families. They're not as tired because they don't have this 2-hour commute each day. They, you know, they're at home focusing on what's important. Then also after, you know, building my websites, my background was in the travel industry. And so I learned a lot about other countries and I began to see how it's America who is so focused on the almighty dollar. Everything is work, 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 work. I'm not in New York, Alex, but I'm in Los Angeles, you know, the number two DMA in America. So I, if no one else understands that whole, you know, rent issue, it's, we understand it. So is in other countries, if you go to Mexico, they shut down for lunch. They have, you know, the fiesta with the family. By the way, happy Taco Tuesday, everybody. Cinco de Mayo, right? I had to shout that out to all my people. We did it today. Taco Tuesday, Cinco de Mayo. We're going to have some fun tonight. But when you go to places like Malta, they shut down for the summer because they're so focused on, you know what, we worked. We did what we have to do, but now let's focus on the family. And then the other thought that I had, you know, growing up, I was one of those people who watched all the shows about how the robots are going to come take over and then the people are going to be gone. Because, you know, I think that was the Twilight Zone. But we like, one day, this is really going to happen. And then we have automated ourselves out of so many different things. And people are like, okay, then the people are just going to die. No, they're not going to die. They'll go home and they'll focus on what's important. At least that's what I found.
Fully agree.
That was my sermon for this morning. I think there was no question in that. I was just sharing that. Darren, what are your thoughts?
I think that you hit the nail on the head right there, that people used to think that people who were online all day and night were lazy and addicted to computers. And those skills have paid some pretty big dividends, not just entrepreneurs, but workers of all levels. That's kind of where we're at right now. I'm working from home. Most of my work, if not all my work, is home-based at the moment. So here we are. Had I not had all that introverted training, it would be tough right now.
What changed for you though? What's different in your new norm?
Not going to an office is definitely a big thing. As a writer, a lot of my stuff was about going on a press trip every 2 to 3 weeks to a different city, mm-hmm. going to concerts, so going to events in general. Mm-hmm. That's not happening. I'm still getting sent stuff in the mail to write about, but it's shifted more towards food and drinks. That's different. I'm still doing a lot of interviews with artists, and a lot of them are over Zoom now, and a lot of people who previously would never ever be available because they're A-list are suddenly available, and they're available on video. And hey, I'll take these great interviews I've been getting lately any day. I never thought I'd be getting them. So changes all around.
Okay, so who have you interviewed lately? What's exciting?
So I spoke a week and a half ago with the guitarist of Radiohead. I don't think I ever would have gotten a Radiohead on camera interview. Last week with a British sort of singer, sort of rapper named Youngblood, who, he'll talk on camera with me. That's pretty great. so there's more of those that are happening that I don't know if it's that there's fewer writers available or these artists are going stir crazy and they'll talk to anybody, or my star rising combined with their star remaining the same. Whatever it is, I'll take it.
Very, very interesting. Now, when you say that you're able to get the on-camera interviews, did you change your message? The only reason I'm asking that, that's been one of the questions that I've been asking to all the business owners, because I've seen so many companies, no matter what they are, their messaging has changed. I talk about one of the things that stood out to me was I was watching television and I saw Verizon Wireless, and the whole commercial was just, we are here to help you. We are here to serve you. We are available 24 hours, 7 days a week on verizonwireless.com for you. And I'm like, okay, but verizonwireless.com has been helping us for like 20 years, you know, but it's the tone, it's the messaging. So when you reached out to people, did your message change in any form or fashion?
Not so much as them saying, hey, would you like to speak with this person? And then me going, well, I could do it by phone or Zoom or Skype. And then they go, oh yeah, he's got Zoom. And then in other words, it's one of those things where if you ask, you get, and if you don't ask, you don't get. So asking has been all the difference with a lot of the stuff. Like 3 months ago, if I found out that the guitarist of Radiohead was doing press, I would go, why even ask? And now I asked, I got a Zoom, and then other people go, wait, he's good enough to speak to the Radiohead guy? Okay, well, here's who we got. And kind of a little boost there. I don't know if Radiohead means as much to you or other people on this call as it does to me.
His name's Greenwood, right?
Yes. Yeah, there's brothers with Greenwood. They've been doing arenas for like 20-ish years now. So, power to them for making millions of dollars for decades now.
And you got an interview. That is cool. So where can we watch it?
That one's on my YouTube channel. If you put in Darren Paltrowitz Radiohead, that'll come up there, or it's also an article out there. Pretty Googleable,
Yes, Darren Paltrowitz. Did you Google me, Darren?
I've always Googled you, that.
I was just wondering.
The creepiest thing anyone could have ever said on a Zoom call ever, right?
No, I've had creepier, believe me. If I shared some of the creepy stuff that people share, you would be shocked. But I just like asking people that. It was funny because when I was running for city council, I was sitting at the table with my cousin and some friends, and we were having this completely different discussion. And all of a sudden I'm like, the Long Beach Post just ran an article on me. And they were like, how did you know that? I'm like, Google alerts. And then they said, I thought only celebrities use Google alerts for themselves. I'm like,
no,
I'm a celebrity. No, I'm just kidding. But I do like, I need to know. That's why I'm like, Google me sometime, Darren. Maybe I missed something. Let me know.
Yeah. To add to that, some of the publications that I write for don't tell me that my articles are up.
Exactly.
The only way I find out is I get a Google alert like, oh, cool, it's up.
Yes. Yes. That happened to me the entire election. I didn't find out about things at all. I'm not media bashing, I'm not doing that, but I'm just saying, because they're so busy, if they write an article, they don't say, hey, Sharifa, here's an article about you. All of a sudden I get a Google alert and this person said that. I'm like, okay, well, I thank God for Google alerts.
Yeah. Yeah, that happens all the time. I'm gonna say four of my regular publications never tell me the things are up. And sometimes the people I wrote about found it because they had the Google alert that came quicker than mine. Mm-hmm. And so they're giving me an edit already on the article that I didn't know was up. So yes. It's an essential yes. tool to have a Google alert of your name. It's not just an egocentric thing. It's a creativity thing too.
Yes. You ladies, do you have Google alerts?
I do. I actually set them up in the last month because I started using the helpareporterout.com.
Yes.
Because I have more time on my hands. So I did set mine up, although I've discovered that they aren't working still. Because I think it takes some days for Google to recognize articles. I don't know. I've noticed some things have come out and Google has not told me that they have come out.
Well, this might help. I don't know if it does or not, but it does sometimes take days, but there are also levels to Google. If it hits Google News, it would be out immediately because that's news and it actually breaks. But if it's just happens to be a link that someone searched, it may not register high enough for Google and then they don't send it out. But yes, you have, Bridget, you have Google alerts?
I do.
Yes.
I do. Yeah.
Same see all those sales.
I'm also doing the Harrow stuff, Alex.
So oh, you are, doing,
Yeah,
I think it's great. I mean, that's how I found Sharifa, so.
Yes.
I love Helper Reporter Out. They help me out. And everyone, you know, right now I'm booked to June for the Roundtable Talk Show. And I have 5 guests per day, 5 shows a week, booked for a month. And people always say, how do you find all these people? How do you get all these guests? I'm like, they help a reporter out. Like, they help me out. I go there and I make a post and people respond and then I talk to them. So it's the best thing. I always get a ton of replies. So I definitely, I think today's topic, I always kind of wind up in the topic are websites that change your life. Mm-hmm. And Fiverr and Help a Reporter Out are two that changed my life. They changed the way I operate my business. I wouldn't have even be as successful as I am without either of those two sites.
Same.
Any other cool sites we need to talk about or discuss today? What don't I know about? Like, give me the secret. Darren, you have them because you find the celebrities. I know you don't just go to IMDb and find people.
I would say for you, I would use podchaser.com.
And taking notes.
Okay. Yes.
All right. I'll write it down.
Podchaser.com, it's not yet a widespread kind of thing, but I think that it's eventually going to be like the IMDb or the All Music Guide of podcasts. And not only, you probably have a page on there right now without realizing it. If you're on Apple iTunes and all that, then you should have a page auto-populating on there. And you probably don't have any reviews unless you ask people to put reviews or you like really went wide. But what I like about it is that the guests of the episode auto-populate. So for example, if you were to click me, you would not only see my podcast episodes, but the appearances that I made on other people's. Mm-hmm. So I have a hunch that they'll eventually be bought or other websites are going to use their database, kind of like an IMDb. Because All Music Guide, it, you know, that lists who played guitar on everything and who wrote and who produced, that was eventually bought by TiVo. So you have to assume that if it's on TiVo and Yahoo Music, that it's the database. So it's the kind of thing where if you get a big name guest and you made sure that the metadata had that they were on your podcast, it'll be like, oh, they were on Joe Rogan and Ask Sharifa both. And that's it. So it kind of makes you look better in the process for branding reasons.
That sounds like more work. But you know what? I'm going to find somebody. I'm going to hire somebody. Then somebody's new job is going to be a pod chaser.
That's I know Fiverr Pro if you need one.
You do? Can you make any? Are they six figure? I'm sorry, say it again.
Yeah, it's Alex. Talk to her. She'll get it done.
Alex, is that within your criteria? I think you have a certain lane you stay in.
Yeah, I am. I'm actually not that knowledgeable in like the world of podcasts and stuff. I mainly just write blogs, website content, and ebooks all day long for people. I just write ebook after ebook, which is awesome because people will pay a lot for it, but I feel like it takes a scoop of my brain out every time I do it. But I was actually thinking about opening a new gig for podcasts because it's so big right now. saying like, I'll write your podcast blog or something. I don't know if anyone has any ideas. I've been toying with that though. So it's funny that you mentioned podcasts.
Mm-hmm. See, look, now we're going to take the next 20 minutes so you can help me fix my life. This is Alex Fix My Life. But maybe you can help me. I'm being serious right now because I need someone to write my sponsorship deck. I know that's not exactly there, but it's writing. And most people who do investor decks or sponsorship kits have no idea what a video cast is. They have no idea what I'm doing. Like, this is Zoom, Facebook Live. And they're like, okay, but is it on Apple iTunes? I'm like, you don't get it. You don't get like the whole thing I'm trying to do. So I'm like, one day I'll find someone who gets me and then they can go sell me to someone else in writing and I'll just send over the sponsorship deck.
Yeah. I mean, I know that's more like sponsorship, grant, writing, all that stuff. Those people are a whole different like kind of writer than me on there, but they are on there. I can tell you that.
Mm-hmm. I don't want a grant. Grants are like, you know, 2000 pages. I just want like a one sheet of you be on Sharifa's show, you put your products, your service in front of her audience, six figures.
I love it.
I'll leave you alone. I'll leave you alone, Alex. But I will think of another ebook.
I think it's time to buy the domain Six Figure Sharifa.
Oh.
Darren, you can't say it on the live because I'm here right now and then I'll go back and it'll be gone. It'll be undeveloped. We'll
write it down.
Yeah, write that down.
Six Figure Sharifa. I'm gonna do that.
Now you need a t-shirt for that too.
Yes, I'm going to go into the t-shirt business. But you know, speaking of that domain, I always tell people the one thing, my biggest regret in life, and I don't have a lot of regrets, and I've done a lot of interesting things, is not purchasing one word domains in the 90s. I wish I would have done that. I wish. Maybe it's just me. Am I alone on this one, Bridget?
I don't know. There's been a couple of domains I've looked for that have been taken, but it hasn't been a big issue in my life, to be honest.
No, but I want them not taken. But I mean, if I would have bought Zoom.com in 1990, I could have sold it to the Zoom business for $2.5 billion. That's what I wanted to do. I wanted to just buy all these one-word domains and then sell Darren.com.
There were some interesting cases on this 15 to 20 years ago. Like the guy who bought the Madonna domain, he got sued because let's just say he didn't use it in the most clean of ways. And so some corporations were suing and then others were buying, and getting sued costs money, you know?
Mm-hmm. But it was one of the ones that I found interesting was the whole McDonald's.com. That was interesting to me because it was a landmark case where someone purchased McDonald's.com early on and they wound up selling it to McDonald's, the restaurant, for millions of dollars. And the reason it worked is because the trademark laws don't apply to domain names in the sense that McDonald's could be anything. It could be McDonald's Farms. It could be McDonald's Toys. It doesn't specifically relate to McDonald's, the hamburger chain. So when they tried to say this is our trademark, that didn't work on that domain, and they had to actually buy it from the gentleman for millions. So it's interesting, back to what Bridget was saying, that's that whole, you know, AI world, the technology piece that meets us as humans, that we want to own this. And no, it's open source to a certain extent. Who gets there first?
Yeah.
Don't people have like bots today that kind of sit and wait for these domains to expire and then they buy them really quick? And if you didn't renew it, you kind of can lose your domain. I've heard of that.
Yes, that happens. I mean, it's a lot of things that happen. It doesn't even necessarily need a bot. Like, you can go to any domain. When I finish, I'll go to paultruitz.com and I'll find up, I'll go specifically to it and find out what his renewal date is. So if it's going to renew on June 1st, all I have to do is just wait until June 1st, go, you know, make a note of it, add it to my calendar, go back there and wait to see if he renews it or not. Because once he doesn't renew it, he loses it. And then I can jump right there and buy it because it's not his name if it has expired. It's now open to anyone. And people do that all the time. They just kind of wait the person out.
They do that in politics a lot.
Yes.
problem if you don't have your own name.com.
Yes.
We'll have fun with that.
Yes, I saw that. I saw that actually not in this city council race, but they had done that in a previous election. Mm-hmm. And it was very interesting, some of the things they used the domains for.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Now, Bridget, I want to go back to you and being a best-selling author. And you said it was fairly easy. It was not as difficult as some may assume or some may think. And without giving away, I love trade secrets. So I always tell people, if you don't want to give me your trade secrets, you know, feel free to keep them to yourself. But what are some tips or information or strategies that you can give our listeners to become a bestseller on Amazon?
Well, it's not a secret at all. I mean, so I'm happy to share with that. If you want to be a best-selling author on Amazon, it's all about how many people buy your book in a particular time period. So, you know, all I did was I made sure I had built up a lot of hype about it before I was ready to publish. So, of course, you know, built up the hype about, you know, I'm writing the book, da, 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 da. I did the whole thing about the cover because I designed the cover as well on Canva. Canva's another website, by the way, about the.
I love Canva.
Yeah, so, you know, designed the cover on Canva, you know, asked people for opinions on social media, so I had a lot of build up. And of course, I was like drip feeding some content, especially some things that got people like hooked into that. And when I was ready to publish it, you know, obviously, I ramped up and boom, go. So luckily my marketing worked and yeah, I had enough and it was interesting because then you just watch, mm-hmm. you know, you literally just watch to see where, you know, you are in the listing and within a certain time period, if enough copies are sold within a certain time period. And of course, because I had the ebook as well as the print that kind of, you know, sort of like feeds into the algorithm as well. And then you know, your place starts going up the rank and, you know, it held the position for a while, the title, you know, number one in the relevant category. So the trade secret to all of that is you got to tap into your marketing. You've got to make, I mean, this is the power of social media, right? Mm-hmm. Is just build up momentum and boom.
I like Bridget. But, you know, what's interesting to me is that you're so calm and you just like, you know what, I just put it out there and then boom, that's my trade secret. I put it out there and boom. I'm like, okay, Bridget, it just sounds so easy the way you say it. You know what I mean? I published two books and neither one of my books went boom. That's why I'm like, what did I do wrong? How can I fix this? I need to be a six-figure seller on Amazon. Or Fiverr somewhere.
Yeah. I think the only trade secret really that's in there, and unless you're a big name, unless you become like a J.K. Rowling, mm-hmm. writing the book is probably not what's going to bring you six figures.
Okay.
You know, so I think there's a lot about the expectation of what writing a book is going to bring you. For me, it was part of a personal journey and I had a personal objective to it. And, you know, mm-hmm. as I said, it had a branding element to it. It brings me, I believe, a lot more credibility to be mm-hmm. a published author on certain topics that relates to the kind of work that I do as well. But I think you got to become a J.K. Rowling if you want to be getting those six figures in. So it's not to say that it's impossible, but again, like everything in life, you've got to match your expectations with your goals. So what do you want to get out of it? And then, because I mean, especially if you're looking at it being an ebook, I mean, you can easily do the math about how much people pay for an ebook. You know, no one really pays more than just a couple of dollars at the most for an ebook. And then, you know, how many of those do you need to sell to get to six figures? It's a lot.
Yeah. I mean, when I speak to people, it has been a general. And I found it to be true as well with my book. It comes down to credibility. It gives mm-hmm. you credibility as a published author. And then if you're looking for speaking engagements, if you're looking for those radio interviews, if you're trying to get people like Darren to speak with you, mm-hmm. he's not just going to have a conversation with someone just because, oh, I think I'm cool. No, you've taken the time, the energy, you've gone through the process, you created the cover, and you've completed this. And so that puts you in a different category. So for me, the books have opened doors, but they have, you know, they have not equated to the dollar amount, but I wasn't going for the dollar amounts. I was just literally going for the credibility. And I wanted to share information. That's my book, Signs You Might Be an Entrepreneur, How to Discover the Entrepreneur in You. So it was to answer a question that a lot of people had is what for it started with what is an entrepreneur. And I felt that a lot of people were getting it wrong. A lot of people felt that an entrepreneur was someone who didn't want to work, period. Like that they felt like, I don't want to go to a day job, so I'm an entrepreneur. And I'm like, okay, you know what? Entrepreneurs, in my little humble opinion, sometimes work a lot harder than any employee. Absolutely. Because like one of my closest friends is a police officer. And he's so intrigued by my world. And I'm like, no, I love your world because you literally work a set amount of hours. When you get off, nobody calls you and like, oh, can you go get that criminal? No, you're done. Like it's finished until the next day. Entrepreneurs, my phone rings all day, every day. Somebody's always asking Sharifa a question. So I'm always working. I'm always going. So I wanted to explain some aspects of what an entrepreneur is and how to be an entrepreneur.
Yeah. I mean, it opens doors for sure. I mean, having your book and having, especially if you're able to, you know, to reach a certain level, you know, have the recognition of being a bestseller or in a best-selling list or a number one best-selling author, definitely does open doors. And so it might not be the book revenue that takes you to six figures, but it gets you it gets you the attention, it gets you the airtime that can lead you to the opportunities that do.
Absolutely. You're a writer as well, Darren.
I am. Two books and all these articles, and it's one of the things I do.
What were your books on?
The first book is called Your Happy Money, and it's about all the different ways that you can pair together a freelancing income to kind of supplement. I mean, if you really, really want to live on the cheap, you could do it as a full-timer. It's it's not exactly Fiverr Pro, you know, that's kind of like the watermark here about what you can do. And it talks a little bit about Fiverr and TaskRabbit in the book. And then the second book is called Good Advice from Professional Wrestling, because I thought about it and wrestlers know more than we do about branding, if they do things right, positive mental attitude, and long-term work in general. So I got a famous wrestler to write the foreword to the book, and it has all sorts of advice. And I co-wrote it with a great author out of Akron, Ohio, named DX Ferris, who I think wrote four books in 2018. Productive guy.
So are those available at Amazon?
Those are both at Amazon. You put in Darren Paltrowitz, you'll find those books.
I'm going to search for you. I'm going to find out what I can find on the dark web about Darren Paltrowitz.
Not much, but hey. You know, years of listening to metal, you never know what comes up.
I don't know. I just want to go look up stuff and find stuff. I love doing research on people. I was working at a company one time, working at a job, and we were going to hire someone. And someone was like, just Google them. So I Googled them, and they had a long criminal history. Seriously, this is a true story. And what was so interesting about this whole story is I brought it to the CEO's attention, their criminal history, and they just waved it off. Like, oh, well, they told me about it, but they said it was a long time ago in this whole story. And that person wound up doing a lot of bad to that company. And I was like, you know what? I tried to tell you. I did my research. And sometimes it happens that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I cannot confirm nor deny whether or not I've done similar work, but let's just say that you got to be careful as to what goes on to the internet because it is permanent.
Yes. But that's not, you know, I'm just having a little fun, mainly because it's Tuesday and it's Taco Tuesday and Cinco de Mayo. So I'm joking a little bit more than I usually do, but it really is good to do your research, and to have information out there, because for me, even just sitting here in my little t-shirt doing a little show, people don't always take me serious. But when they Google me and they Google some of the things that I've done, they're like, okay, well, you are really, really a talk show host. You're really a video cast host. This is what you do, as opposed to, and not to knock anyone who's just starting out, but someone who just said, you know what, I'll do a podcast. I've been doing this for years.
Absolutely. And I think it's really impressive. If you got everything on Podchaser of all the guests you've had, you've interviewed as many people as like a Tonight Show host at this point.
Yes. Because when I started in 2009, and I did that show, Ask Sharifa Radio, for I think about 2 years. And it was the same thing. I did it as a daily show. And even then, people said, Sharifa, wow, you are crazy, because nobody does a daily show. Everybody does a weekly show. Everybody does a monthly show, or, but daily. And I was like, I love to talk to people. It's an hour a day, just like now, the Roundtable Talk Show. It's an hour a day. I can meet up to 5 new friends a day, new people where I learn what they do. And part of why this is important to me is I love referring people. I love to be able to say, talk to Alice. Alex, talk to Bridget, talk to Darren, and then that person, Alex, will know, oh, Sharifa sent you? Yeah, I know who she is. So for me, that's why I just love to talk to people.
Exactly, and here we are.
Yes, here we are. Now, I think I talked a lot today. We are coming down to the last few minutes of the show, and what I love to do at the end of every show is just allow my guests the opportunity to speak directly to the audience who's listening, as well as to everyone who's watching it in the archives, and just let them know what you would like from them to take away from your appearance. So we're going to start with Darren.
Thank you very much for having me again. Just download the Paltrowcast with Darren Paltrowitz. Very, very cleverly named podcast. I do realize that. And it drops every other Wednesday, iTunes, Spotify, you name it, it's all out there. But Google me, follow me. If I can ever help you with anything, you know where to find me.
At Paltrowitz.com. I need some help. I don't know what I need help with yet. I'm going to figure that out.
You know where to find me.
Bridget.
Great. So firstly, Sharifa, thanks again. This has been awesome. Really great experience, and so cool to meet Alex and Darren as well. And if I have to put anything out there, I'd say to people, Google me. I think my Google profile is safe and clean, so that's cool. You can find what you can on Google. Reach out to me if you are a business owner, growing an entrepreneur, if you are working with anything to do with running a business, growing a business. And at the moment, I mean, we've all been blindsided by all kinds of stuff that's happening in the world. And if you want to just, get on a call, have a chat, just try and figure something out, something that's happening in your business, or you're just a little bit confused, I've got some extra time on my hands these days as well. And I'm really happy to have a short chat with anybody, try to help you figure a few things out. Doesn't just reach out and let's throw a few ideas around.
Bridget said a short chat, not a long chat. but a short chat. Now, Bridget, we focused a lot of time today on your book and just being a best-selling author. And then at the end, you mentioned, this chat with business owners. Can you briefly give us a couple of examples of ways that you can help business owners?
Sure. So up until very recently, you asked earlier about, has anyone changed their messaging? And I haven't really changed the messaging in my business, because my business has always been about helping other businesses get to their next level. Mm-hmm. So where is your next step from here? What does that mean for you, and how do we get there? And that's essentially what we do. Now in these times, we're still talking about next level, but next level for many businesses is just, how do we get through? And I don't want to talk about doom and gloom, because some businesses are actually struggling with more unexpected growth in a very short time than they ever expected. So, if you happen to be in one of those fortunate positions, the same question applies. How do you get through? Mm-hmm. And if that's, some businesses right now are just a little bit shell-shocked, I don't know what my next step is. I don't know what I need to do. And those are the kinds of conversations that I'm really happy to have with people. So what I do is I help businesses connect the dots, solve their problems, and move forward.
I love it. Go ahead and take us out, Alex.
All right. Thanks, Sharifa, for having me on. Guys, I always say to people out there, if you've lost your job, if you're on the bad end of these types of things, I'm helping people every day on Instagram and TikTok. So if you want me to look at your Fiverr profile, if you have a question about a service you want to offer, I'm happy to answer it. You can find me on Instagram, my full name, Alexandra Fasulo. It's my username. On TikTok, I'm Alex Fasulo Biz with a Z. And if you find yourself wanting to book pro copywriting from Fiverr, I'm at fiverr.com /Faswaldo, F-A-S, Waldo. Long story behind that name, but yeah.
So basically it's like, where's Faswaldo?
Yeah, it was a substitute teacher in high school, just really got my last name wrong one day, like reading my name off, and no one ever let me live it down. So turned into Faswaldo.
Oh, okay. I have stories like that. One of my closest friends, she's like my sister. To this day, we get along great. But with my son, who's 23 now, when he was about six or four, she came over. Her name is Edith. And so he was excited to see her. He was like, hi, Edith. And to this day, whenever I talk to her, I'm like, Edith. It just stuck. I don't know.
Branding. Yep.
That is the power of branding. I want to thank you all for being a guest on today's episode of the Roundtable Talk Show. I want to thank everyone who tuned in to watch the show live, as well as everyone who's watching it in the archives. I definitely appreciate you and I appreciate your support, but I'm just going to ask you to do a little bit more, and that's support the show by sharing it, sharing with your friends, because friends do not let friends miss out on the Roundtable Talk Show. And you definitely want to look at the description. Look at the bios in the post, visit our guest website, support them, follow them on social media. And if you have a conversation with them, if you should just so happen to speak to them, please let them know Sharifa sent you. I will be back tomorrow at the same time at 8 a.m. Pacific Standard Time for the Roundtable Talk Show. And if you are interested in being a guest, please visit the website at asksharifa.com. Until then, everyone have a safe and a blessed day. Bye now.